بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الطهور شطر الإيمان الحمد لله my dear respected elders علماء beloved brothers and sisters in Islam All praises are due to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us this opportunity. Time is very limited, so and there's so much to be discussed, so I want to move directly into the topic of discussion for tonight. Allah ta'ala in the Quran says that Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Verily Allah ta'ala loves those who are oft penitent, those who excessively make tawbah towards Allah. And وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ Allah Ta'ala loves those who are clean and pure. In a hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that tahara and cleanliness comprises of half of your faith. Half of your faith in tahara, cleanliness. In the beginning days of Nubuwwat, Allah Ta'ala revealed Suratul Muddathir. There are few commands, and one of the commands that was issued to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَّهِّرْ That keep also your clothes clean. So the ulama mentioned that the explicit command is to keep your clothing clean. From here there is also inference that a person should keep his body clean, and at the time of salah, especially the place of salah should be clean. And then in the very broad sense of it, cleanliness in every regard. Cleanliness in your mind, cleanliness in your heart, and in every regard, in your surroundings, in your home, in your workplace, and so on. Yes, cleanliness definitely impacts on the person directly. You know, sometimes a person says, you know, I'm so hot, I'm so sweaty, man. I just need to take a shower. And after that shower, a person's entire temperament changes. You become once again fresh. So, tahara, in the very general sense, whether it be something linked to our istinja, whereby a person goes to relieve himself, or whether it be wudu, or whether it be ghusl, which we are going to discuss, inshallah, all these three aspects tonight, all these things, brothers, they impact on a person's temperament. But that is not the most important thing. The most important thing, brothers, is that a person's ibadat, a person's acts of worship, actually hinge upon the validity of a person's tahara. Thus, if a person is not clean at the time of offering his salah, then his salah will not be valid. Thus, it is very, very important, brothers, that a person knows what are the actual teachings of Islam with regards to istinja, as well as wudu, as well as ghusl. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that miftahul jannah as salah. The key to jannah is salah. And the key to salah is tahara. Proper cleanliness. So a person has to adopt a correct wudu, and a person has to be clean in every sense. You know, in the kitabs, there's a tasheel kitab, which is used, you know, in our maktab. It's printed by Madrasa Talimuddin. Under this narration, At-tuhuru shatrul iman, that tahara and cleanliness comprises of half your iman, there's an incident mentioned there about a Muslim student who went to study in the UK. And this person over here, he was boarding with a British woman. So, there were few boarders, some Muslim, some non-Muslim. Now, because this person was a Muslim, after he used to go to relieve himself, he used to wash. And his underwear, he used to always, you know, ensure that it is clean. He used to rinse it before putting it for washing. So one day she approached him that, what is it? You think that I'm incapable of washing your clothes? So he says, no, absolutely not. But this is the teachings of my Prophet. He has taught us that a person should keep his garments clean. So she says, I must tell you that from the other borders, we experience stains, offensive smells, and so on and so on. It is mentioned with regards to this woman that after this, she started studying more and more about Islam. And she was so impressed by the teachings of Islam that eventually she embraced Islam. And furthermore, people related to her, some family and relatives, they also came into the fold of Islam. That's why Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh used to say that one sunnah is more powerful than the seven heavens and the earth. So see, just having yaqeen, having the proper faith and conviction that this is the teachings of my religion, this is the sunnah practice of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and adopting that in one's life, the effects of it are very far-reaching. Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions that the Jews of Medina, they asked him that why is it that when you go to relieve yourself, then you wash yourself? Does, you know, your religion even teach you that? They were ridiculing him. So he said, absolutely. Our religion of Islam even teaches us that when we go to relieve ourselves, then a person should cleanse himself. An incident is attributed to the great Sheikh Ahmad Didat, rahimahullah, may Allah fill his qabr with nur, that, you know, one day a non-Muslim person asked him, why is it that when you'll go to relieve yourself, you'll use water? I mean, so convenient, just use tissue or whatever. So he says, no problem, tomorrow do yourself a favor and take some jam out of your fridge and then apply it on your hand. And then take some tissue paper and wipe it, and then apply some jam onto the other hand and wash it off with water. And that's your answer. So, naturally, brothers, when a person uses water, then a person will feel clean and pure. As Quran mentions, وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا, that water is a cleansing agent, and Allah Ta'ala has revealed it in this way. So, it is extremely important that a person knows the actual teachings with regards to istinja. When a person goes to relieve himself, it is sunnah for a person to cover his head before going into the toilet. And a person should go into the toilet with his left leg. And before entering, a person should take the name of Allah, Bismillah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. That, O Allah, I seek your protection from the male and the female jinns. So this is a place, the toilet is a place which is occupied by the jinn. So therefore, a person staying in the toilet should be kept to the bare minimum. We shouldn't be halting over there beyond necessity. Yes, enter with the left foot, and it is important that a person is not facing the Qibla. Brothers, when we purchase our homes, or if a person is building, doing renovations and so on, then a person needs to ensure that his toilet is not facing in the direction of the Qibla. This is an explicit prohibition in the Ahadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited us. And a person should be in a place of seclusion when a person goes to relieve himself. It is mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, kana idha dhahaba al-madhhab ab'ad. He used to go very far away, and he used to ensure that he is not exposing any part of his private area. Speaking in the toilet also is prohibited, as well as reading of any kind of material. So, you know, brothers, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that this is a place that is occupied by jinn. Therefore, keep your time over there to a bare minimum. Nowadays, you find that it has become more of a comfort zone. The difference between the high pan and the eastern pan. So the eastern pan, yes, that is far closer to the sunnah. And we know that the high toilet, this is a design of the west. And to whatever extent possible, a person should try to avoid it. Because, you know, the water stands there and you get a lot of splish splash and very high returns. So, very, very important, brothers, is that a person has to ensure that droplets of water and urine and so on do not come back onto him. Bukhari Sharif narrates that once Rasulullah was walking and he passed a qabr. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Innahuma yu'adzaban." These people are being punished. Wama yu'adzaban fi kabir. It's not because of something which they consider as serious. So Sahaba Ikram inquired. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the first person, he does not abstain from the droplets of urine which come at the time of relieving himself. And the second person is that person who carries tails. At the same time, when a person goes to relieve himself, then a person should not take the name of Allah, eating anything, whether it's biryani or whether a sweet also is prohibited, you know, when a person uses the washroom. Yes, a person should sit, and this is, you know, the sunnah method. The Eastern Pan brothers, this is actually the actual teachings, you know. And this has been the, you know, the trend amongst mankind ever since. The toilet pan which we have nowadays, this is, you know, it's not without a great amount of harms, including health, you know, harms on a person's health. Scientists have discovered that, you know, it's a cause of many things. A person is unable to relieve himself fully. So, very, very important, brothers, that if possible, then a person should try to have that installed in his house, because it is very, very, it prevents any kind of urine splashes coming back onto himself. Yes, if a person is, because of advanced age, a person is unable to use the lower pan, then the high pan is fine. The other thing, dear brothers, which is very important also, is that when a person makes istinja, a person should be using his left hand. A person should not be using his right hand to make istinja, to touch the private area or to wash and so on. Yes, a person should use the jug with the right, hold the jug in the right hand, and a person wash using the left hand. And when a person is using any kind of facility, more especially when it is a public facility, a person must ensure that he leaves it in a clean state. You know, public facilities like the masjid or anywhere else, you're using a washroom on an aircraft or at an airport and so on. It's a very unpleasant thing that somebody leaves the toilet in a mess, and it's an inconvenience to others, whether it be it a Muslim or a non-Muslim. So a person must ensure that when he is done, then a person is, you know, he leaves the washroom in a very clean state. And with regards to this discussion, one of the most important thing, brothers, is that a person must ensure that when a person goes to relieve himself, then whatever impurity, whatever urine or stool is in him, a person completely discharges all of that before a person goes to make the wudu for his salah. This is actually a very important part of istinja. This is known as istibra, where a person is cleaning himself up totally. Now what happens, brothers, is if a person goes to relieve himself and after a few moments, a few drops of urine come out, then that actually is now nullifying his wudu. So now if the wudu is not valid, then that salah also will not be valid. So therefore, a person needs to ensure that he has totally cleansed himself. So, you know, whether it be through walking or coughing or even just through some kind of massaging, you know, the pipe exactly where the urine comes through. And doctors mention also that, you know, in the area behind the testicles, if a person just presses, then this will release all the urine. So before a person goes to, you know, perform his wudu, to get ready for the salah, a person has to ensure that all the droplets of urine have come out. And when a person exits from the toilet, then he should recite the dua, غُفْرَانَكَ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنِّي الْأَذَى وَعَافَانِي. So a person is now seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have tendered certain interpretations. One of it is that, O Allah, we ask your forgiveness because I supposed to be all the time engaged in your remembrance. And for this amount of time that I am, you know, gone to relieve myself, I am unable to remember you. Moving on to ghusl. Ghusl, brothers, is basically what we refer to as taking a bath or taking a shower. Yes, there are Islamic teachings with regards to this as well. The first thing, brothers, is that What we need to remember is that for a person to perform a valid shari'i ghusl, there are only three requirements. Number one is that a person needs to rinse or gargle his mouth. We won't say rinse, actually gargle the mouth thoroughly. And a person must throw water into his nose up to at least the soft part. So the soft part of the nose, the hard part starts just above, you know, or just about halfway. And then to wash the entire body thoroughly in such a way that no part of the body remains dry. So water in the mouth, to gargle the mouth, to throw water into the nose, and then to pass water over the entire body. That now would mean that a person has completed a shari'i ghusl. Yes, the sunnah method is that a person makes an intention that he is going to make ghusl. The second sunnah is that a person wash his hands up to his wrists, because this is now the tool whereby a person is going to cleanse himself. So if the hands are clean, then inshallah a person will not be passing any kind of impurities around his body. Thirdly, a person should wash his private parts, because this is the place where the impurity is. And then wash off any impurity which is found on any other part of the body. For example, a person was busy, maybe he was making some zaba and there's some blood on his hands and so on. Then a person must ensure that that impurity also is off his body. Thereafter, a person performed the wudu, the normal wudu of salah. How we perform wudu, wash our hands, mouth, nose, wash the face, hands, you know, each hand, the masa and the feet and so on. So the normal wudu. Thereafter, a person should pour water over his head thrice, then the right shoulder, and then the left shoulder. Now, nowadays, you know, brothers, everybody uses the shower. But at least we should try to adhere to the sunnah to whatever way possible. So when we're going also, even though we may be using a shower, let us try to wash the head first, then the right shoulder by moving slightly to the left, and then come to the right so that water passes over the left shoulder. Because this is the sunnah method. And then pour water over the entire body and to rub it in such a way that no part of the body remains dry. So therefore a person must ensure that behind the ears, wherever there are any kinds of, any kind of holes and so on, a person's navel, you know, under and so on. So just to go through the actual sunnah method, a person should make his intention for ghusl, wash both the hands up to the wrist, wash the private parts, wash any impurity of his body, and then perform a complete wudu, the general wudu which a person performs for salah. Pour water over the head three times, so let the water run over your head, then let it pour over your right shoulder, and then the left shoulder, and then to wash the body. Nowadays, whatever you use, whether it's a sponge or any kind, you know, a face cloth or whatever, in that way, inshallah, it'll ensure that every part of the body is covered and there's no part left dry. It is very important to remember, brothers, that if a person has to perform a ghusl which is compulsory upon him and any part of the body remains dry, or a person does not insert water into his mouth or into his nose, then that ghusl is not valid. Now here also a person's salah will hinge upon that. So this is also very important. Certain ulama have mentioned that as a slight precautionary measure, also try to take a little bit of water down. So in that way we ensure that the entire mouth is covered. So mouth, gargle it thoroughly such that water reaches, you know, all areas of the mouth, then the nostrils, and then the entire body thoroughly such that no part, including the hair and so on, is totally wet. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, he had long hair. So he said, from that time I became enemies with my head. Meaning that I ensured that, you know, at the time of ghusl, every part of my head was totally wet. Some additional etiquettes with regards to the ghusl is that a person should not be facing the qibla. And a person, there should be no wastage of water. This, brothers, is very, very relevant since nowadays we use showers. There are people up to this day, alhamdulillah, who do have showers in their houses, but they still use the bucket system, which is most certainly the exact sunnah, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used you know, buffs and buckets and so on, and they use utensils to draw out that water, and that was how they made ghusl. Some people, they just, you know, they just park and water is running, and water is the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So irrespective, brothers, whether that water is free or whether we're paying for it or whatever, water is the great ni'mat of Allah. In December we went in Jamaat to Cape Town. Brothers, it took us, you know, a few minutes, like I think about 5 minutes to make wudu, because that water was coming out in such a trickle, rubbing, rubbing, trying to get the water to reach all the parts of our body. So, you know, ask those people who don't have water, people who have to go and fetch water with wheelbarrows. It is a great ni'mat of Allah. So the key, brothers, to tahara is for a person to use his hands and to rub the water around, whether it be in wudu or ghusl. So a person, by a person rubbing the water around, this will ensure, brothers, that, you know, a person gets maximum usage out of his water. So let us, you know, ensure, this is a very important point with regards to ghusl, is that that water should not just be running and we are not even under the water, person is brushing his teeth and, you know, water is just going. No. After you wet yourself, then let your hands do the work. Rub yourself, use the soap, your whatever detergents, cosmetics, whatever, and then after that, let the water run and you wash everything off, and in this way, inshallah, there will be minimal usage of water but maximum benefit. Yes, a person may use all kinds of cosmetics, soaps, liquid soaps and so on. A person should not be speaking whilst in the bath. And after a person finishes, yes, a person can use a cloth or a towel. Very important is that once a person is finished, then a person should hasten to cover his private area. And a person should not be taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst he is bathing. Moving on to wudu, the third aspect. See, with regards to wudu, brothers, alhamdulillah, there are various narrations which are mentioned with regards to the virtue of wudu. See, the most important thing that needs to be realized and understood is that wudu is an ibadah. Wudu is an ibadah. It's not that you are moving towards ibadah, the ibadah of salah, but wudu in itself is an ibadah. As was mentioned in the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that when a person performs wudu, then the sins, you know, as the water comes off a person's body, even the sins which a person committed using those limbs fall away. It is mentioned about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with the unique or the superior quality of kashf, that he could even see the sins of people falling off the limbs. So when a person throws water into his mouth, then whatever sins a person may have committed with his mouth or his tongue, they fall away. In the same way, the nose, the face, the hands, the feet, etc. and so on and so on. The other thing, my dear brothers, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that the ummah will be identified on the day of Qiyamah by the shining of their limbs, ghurrum muhajjalun min atharil wudu, on account of the wudu that they performed. So, wudu, when performed correctly, will yield great benefits. Nabi Sassam has spoken about isbaghul wudu alal makari, for a person to perform a complete wudu despite the sacrifice. It's very, very cold. There's only cold water. So there is virtue in that as well. And when a person performs his wudu, then for every step thereafter that he takes towards the masjid, that salah will yield a far greater reward. So, suffice to say this much, brothers, that wudu is a great act of ibadah. So, Umar radiallahu anhu would say that la ajra liman la hisbata lah, that a person will only receive the reward of something when a person will have the hope for the reward of it. So, if we are performing wudu, and we think that, you know what, we are just cleaning ourselves, or we're just completing some ritual to go and read our salah, but we are not conscious of the fact that we are completing an ibadah, then we'll lose the reward. So whenever we go to perform our wudu, then, you know, take cognizance of the fact that this is a great act of ibadah. And this is sufficient for a person, you know, not to talk and not to be engaged and so on. Yes, the person can make various du'as while a person is performing his wudu, read the shahada, In one hadith, Rasulullah has mentioned that before a person starts his wudu, he should read this dua, Bismillah walhamdulillah. Very, very short dua. The reward of this dua is that the angels will continue recording rewards for this person for as long as a person maintains that wudu. Subhanallah. So many of us take a ghusl or a shower in the morning, thereafter we go to work. Sometimes that wudu, it lasts right up till Zuhar Salah. The angels are recording rewards for you because you have still maintained that wudu. Subhanallah. By just making this very short and small dua, Bismillah walhamdulillah. When a person makes wudu, then we should try to use the miswak. Okay, the actual sequence, let's go through the sequence of wudu, is that a person should firstly wash his hands thrice. So a person is going to be washing his right hand up to the wrist three times. So while the water is running, we can, with the aid or the support of our left hand, we can just wash each hand thrice. Thereafter, the left hand thrice. The second thing is that we will make madmada. Madmada means to gargle the mouth. Yes, if a person is not fasting, then a person should thoroughly rinse the mouth. There is inference in the text that when a person washes the mouth, then it should be done thoroughly. It shouldn't just be an ordinary rinse. No, a person should be thoroughly cleaning his mouth. And yes, the miswak or the siwak as it is known, this is also a sunnah practice. And a person's, the reward of a person's salah is amplified 70 times more when a person will use the miswak. And brothers, we know that, you know, the teeth are a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you see a person, is a massive person, but you see him totally defeated. You know, he can't even take the light. Why? Because he'll tell you you've got a toothache. So here Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that use the miswak. Every day, for every salah, if a person is using the miswak, then inshallah a person's teeth, you know, Allah ta'ala will bless him with the you know, very barakati teeth. Those teeth will last him up to his, you know, advanced age of his life. So to use the miswak. And then to wash the nostrils. So throw water into the nostrils. Here also, that there should be some kind of excessiveness. Not just throw it in and let the water run out, but a person should be blowing and cleaning each nostril thoroughly. Thereafter, Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned, or actually this is the ayat of the Quran where Allah Ta'ala speaks about the wudu. So a person should wash his face. Now the definition of the face, brothers, is that a person must wash from the hairline till below the chin and from the right earlobe to the left. I have seen on occasions, you know, people washing their faces. Sometimes the area between the beard and the earlobe gets left. Therefore it comes back to what I mentioned, is that a person should be rubbing. If you take water in your hand, then make sure that we are rubbing, you know, the water on our faces. In this way, no area will be left dry. And remember here also, one occasion Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was traveling with the Sahaba Ikram, and it was a time of Asr Salah. Sahaba Ikram made their wudu in haste. Some of them, they did not complete washing their ankles properly. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَيْلُ لِلْأَعْقَابِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Some of the ankles of some people will be in the fire. Why? Because they did not completely wash their feet. So every part has to be done thoroughly. So here also, a person will wash his face thrice. Take water into the hand, pass it over the face, and, you know, do some rubbing so that every part is covered. Yes, for the beard, if the beard is such that it is a thin beard and the skin can be seen, then the water must reach the skin. And if it is a very, very thick beard, then the khilal is sufficient. Thereafter, brothers, a person will wash the right hand thrice. And when, even whilst using the tap, a person should try to make the water flow down from the tip of his fingers up to the elbow. Because the ayat of the Quran says, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, that they wash their hands up to the elbows. So wash the right hand thrice up to the elbows, thereafter the left hand. Thereafter, brothers, a person should make masa. When making masa, a person should run his hand under fresh water again, and then you can separate your hands. The fuqaha have mentioned this method over here, whereby a person he separates the last three fingers, and then the what you call this, the sabbaba will be the forefinger and the thumb, you keep them separate. So you take your finger from the front of your head to the back of your head and then you bring it back on the side. So in this way, this will encompass the entire head, and a person is taking his hands from the back to the front and from the front to the back. And this is also mentioned in the ahadith that Iqbal and Idbar, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved from the front to the back and the back to the front. Then with the forefinger, a person will pass it through the ears, the back of the ear, and then to make masa on the nape. So the nape also. I know certain ulama mentioned that there are great health benefits also in a person passing water over the nape. It gives relief to the brain. So we do it obviously because it is a dini thing and it is the teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't do it with that intention, but yes, these are the additional benefits which a person gets when a person practices on deen. Thereafter, a person, brothers, should wash each foot. And each foot should be washed also from the tip up to the ankles. Because Quran says, وَأَرُجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, the foot up to the ankles. So start from the tip of the foot and wash up to the ankles, including the ankles. The hadith I mentioned it to you. So very important, we ensure that the entire foot also. This also will be accomplished with some amount of rubbing. And then a person should make khilal with the small finger of the left hand. Pass it through between the toes. And this way, inshallah, that would ensure that, you know, the entire foot is encompassed. Yes, you know, it's important to know, Quran says up to the ankles. Sometimes we see people in the wudu khana, they're lifting their trousers right up to, you know, above their knees and they're washing so much. This is actually, you know, not the actual teachings of deen, and a person is actually wasting water. So the actual injunction of deen which is mentioned in the Quran is up to the ankles. When a person, after the wudu, yes, a person should try to read this dua, Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. No. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. That, oh Allah, forgive my sins, make my house expansive and comfortable for me, and grant me abundance in my sustenance. So it's a very beautiful dua also. Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. Just a few things, brothers, with regards to wudu, is that a person should perform his wudu, adopting the sequence. Because the sequence is obviously the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. A person is practicing on the sunnah. That's why I mentioned that we should always remember that this is a great act of ibadah. So make wudu in sequence. The hands, then madmada, then the istinshaq, then the face, each hand, right, left, masa, and then the feet. Right first, and then the left. Everything should be washed thoroughly. And always remember this, brothers, that in this discussion of tahara, do some rubbing. And this way, inshallah, there will be minimal usage of water and maximum benefit. The other very, very important thing, which is quite pertinent, is that, brothers, there should not be any mawani. There should not be anything which is preventing water from reaching our skin, whether it be in wudu or ghusl. If a person is a painter, a person who's doing some varnishing, or cutex. So these are things, brothers, which prevent the water reaching onto our skin. And that now prevents the actual validity of our tahara, whether it be for wudu or whether it be for ghusl. So a person must use some kind of, detergent or so on to remove that before a person starts his wudu or his ghusl. And a person should not be speaking, especially in the masjid. You know, sometimes during the wudu, people are having loud conversations, people are speaking about the dunya, people are disturbing others. So as was mentioned, is that this is an ibadah, a great act of ibadah, and you are going to be rewarded. Your sins are being forgiven. And one other thing is that when a person performs his wudu, then that wudu should not be done over such a long period that now, you know, the previous limbs start drying. It should be done successively, swiftly, such that by the time a person completes his wudu, none of the previous limbs that were washed have now dried up. And the last and the most important thing in this entire discussion is that minimal water should be used. I heard a great wali, Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab, in Pakistan, in the Markaz, he says that the most amount of noor a person will accomplish in his salah is when there is minimal water used for his wudu. You know, one jamaat, they went to Transkei. So Transkei, we know the conditions over there are quite difficult. So they went in a pedal jamaat where you're not staying in the masjid. So the jamaats actually go, they draw water from the rivers and so on. So one of the businessmen from Durban over here, you know, they were using river water to make wudu, and that was brown water and so on. So it was close to the ijtima, so they called him back to Durban. So when he came back to Durban and he was making wudu with the tap, he said, "I can already feel the effect on my spirituality by us, you know, moving away from that original sunnah." So always remember, brothers, that wastage should never be taking place in our life. And wastage is the main cause of deprivation. La in shakartum la azidannakum, that if you are grateful, Allah will increase you. But the second part of the ayat is that if you are ungrateful to Allah for any ni'mat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take you to task. Inshallah, we'll take a few questions. I think I kept within my time. We'll give a few minutes, inshallah, for some questions, and then we'll terminate, inshallah, in just a few minutes. No, it's not something which is compulsory, which will now impact on the validity of your wudu. It's just that if you do it, then there's a greater reward. Then too, it's fine. See, there's fara'id. Fara'id means those acts which are compulsory. The compulsory acts of wudu is to wash the entire face once. To wash each hand, the right one, up to including the elbow once, the left hand. In the same way, masa. To make masa of just one quarter of the head. That is far. This is what is compulsory. And then to wash each foot once. That is compulsory. What we discuss is actually the sunnah method, which is how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed his wudu. Now obviously, that which we don't stick to that which is just compulsory, but we do the sunnah method. Because we want to practice on the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that yields obviously far greater reward.
When would be the appropriate time to use miswak? Would it be before you commence with washing your hands to use miswak, or after you wash your hands when you start to wash your mouth?
It goes with the madmada. Okay? So, correct. So, you wash your hands, and then at the time where you wash your mouth, that is when you make your miswak. The research scholars have mentioned that they have not found the source for that. You know, there's no thubut, there's nothing to prove that recitation of Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatil Qadr after wudu is a sunnah practice or anything of that sort. So, you know, we should abstain, and if a person is doing it, then he should know that there's no proof for that. See, tayammum is an exceptional case, you know. Now, yes. Yeah. We just wanted to keep to the time, you know. Inshallah. Because this comprises of two parts, you know, the tahara and then the salah itself. I think I'm just gone a little bit over. In fact, as I was paging through the kitab, I saw tayammum. But I said, you know, that's more, you know, as an exceptional case. So we're just going to consume more time, inshallah. But we can discuss it, inshallah. No problem. You can answer a person while making wudu. Any other questions? Inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Inshallah, we'll be here next week. Inshallah, we'll be doing the practical demonstration of salah and whatever other questions, inshallah, we can carry it over. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. But the man is here, Mufti Sahib is here. Jazakallahu khair for your time. May Allah Ta'ala reward you. Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka.